Yay. Aloha, everyone. Much love and blessings. I'm sure you're all getting ready for 2012. This is our last couple of days before we enter 2012. And this call is something that I encourage you to listen to again and again. And on this call today, we're going to be talking about some of the main topics of the training and getting you ready for 2012. And, you know, a few things you can do just to think about where you're at and how to go to the next level. And then we'll answer a few questions. So this is going to be a little bit of a recap of the training, the most important things to bear in mind, because, you know, we can get confused about what should we be doing and what's going to happen next and how to handle things that come up. So we're just going to go through some of those things today so you guys can get super clear on what to do, you know, because we just don't know, do we? So, Nick, are you there, bro?
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
I'm here, brother.
Yay. How are you doing?
Yeah, blessings and happy holidays. This high-vibing time, it's always an interesting little pocket between celebration of Christmas and the launching off into the new year.
It's a very fascinating little week, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, basically, I wanted to share four things, and we can take this as it goes, and just, you know, go with the flow and share a few things between us all. And we're just going to clarify what we're going to talk about today, because it's going to be a different call today because it's a new year. And first thing we're going to talk about is the global shift, the big shift that's happening in the world, so you can just remember what's going on. Second thing we're going to be sharing is the fact that we are non-physical beings, that we are eternal, immortal beings, and just to really remind ourselves of that, because that's the context from which we live our lives as eternal beings. That's something we don't really want to be forgetting very often. And then the third thing is about discovering our Dharma and living our Dharma, getting on with our mission in our life every day, especially as we move into 2012, or whenever people are listening to this, you might be in 2012 when you're hearing this, because people are going to get the recording. So how to get on with our life. And I've also got a few things that I'd like to ask you some questions so that you can really get clear on how to make this best year ever. So, Taylor, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful. So I think it'd be good just for us to start with a few thoughts on this global shift that we're going through as we move into 2012. Seems to me that there's a collapse of a lot of old establishments and old ways of doing things and old systems. And that can be very, very distressing for some people if they're attached to them. And at the same time, as this old tree is falling apart, there's a bunch of new things, new consciousness, new ideas, new ways of living emerging. And while this is happening, it can be potentially very, very, very traumatizing for people who want to hold on to the old things that are falling apart and being destroyed. But if we are accepting of things changing and we're embracing the new changes, then it can be a wonderful joy and something of celebration for us. So, Nick and Taylor, anything you want to say on this topic?
Yeah, there's a huge awakening going on. There's a huge shift going on. And there's an incredible period of transformation in the human collective reality, and depending on what avenues you're researching or looking out in through, what lenses you're looking out through for clarity on this thing, it's you know, there's all kinds of amazing and wonderful perspectives on what's actually going on. But like you were saying, bro, you know, no one really knows. And we always have a giggle about this because it kind of, it's kind of exciting, you know, the uncertainty factor. And I think the most important thing to realize and remember all the time, and this is something obviously that the whole course is founded upon, is that all of these changes are going on within us. We're being dismantled within, deep within us. And this is, you know, this is an extremely disturbing experience. If you live on the top of your high-rise apartment and, you know, people are starting to remove everything in the, you know, in the 30 floors below you and, you know, take all your stuff out and start knocking things down and all the rest of it. And, you know, a lot of people are living in their penthouse in their superficial conscious mind, the penthouse suite on top of this big building, and there's all kinds of noise and rumblings and stuff going on below them that they can't ignore anymore. And this is a very challenging time for many, many people. And my words, this year it's going to be excruciating for many, many people who are who don't visit the depths of themselves regularly and are not familiar with that inner journey, with that passage within themselves, with all of the dark tunnels and corridors and the boogie men that are in there, all of the memories and the recordings and patterns and all of the stuff that, you know, it's our job as spiritual warriors to clear and dissolve deep within us. And so the main thing to remember is that there's all of this is going on inside of us. Everything that we perceive on the outside, every possible permutation of possibility or probability, it's all a reflection of internal possibilities and probabilities. And so, you know, that means everything. And so we really need to exist more than ever before this year in that deep, 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 deep inner core of our being and be so rooted in it and just exist from that depth, just exist from that depth within us and just carry on practicing the basics and doing our mission. And as long as we're existing from that depth within us and we're really on it, on the program, then it's all going to be wonderful and everything is going to work out in a beautiful, amazing, and totally mind-blowing and wonderful way. But if we don't do that and we just kind of barricade that penthouse suite and then look across from our imagined heightened perspective at all kinds of things falling down and rising up and convulsing and being detoxified and all kinds of people saying this, that, and the other and all kinds of realities that we can peer into from depending on which window we're looking out of, then we're going to be in for a shock as our whole foundation is gobbled up. And so it's a very important time to really have the courage to live from that depth. And I'm really glad that at this point in the course, Gerald O'Donnell stuff is coming into it. And you're going to be able to have the support of, as far as I'm concerned, the number one guy in the world for getting you into that depth very, 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 very effectively. And all the tools that you've been practicing hitherto and all of the protocols and meditations and all of the skills and abilities that you've been developing this year will all be going to the next level because you've got those basic skill sets that you need to navigate those inner realms. And it's going to be a superbly empowering year for you and lots and lots and lots of amazing things coming up I'm superbly optimistic about this year, feeling really, really good about it. But there's no messing around this year. It's 100% commitment to the highest path, or you're going to be falling, you know, and really getting a shake up. And that's not what we want at all. So I'm feeling awesome and super positive and really anticipating great feedback from all the superheroes that are really blazing on this trail with us. And the proviso is, like always, if you got to turn up the heat, live from that depth, cut the BS, get that 80-20 equation absolutely worked out and eliminate everything you're wasting time on, faffing around with, getting diverted with, drifting into, cluttering your life with, blah, 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 all of that stuff. It's up to you to get down there and get rid of it and, make room for something absolutely extraordinary this year.
Absolutely. And just before Taylor says anything, I just wanted to mention that when we started this training in 2011, we actually said it was preparing you for 2012 and beyond.
Yeah.
And no matter where you are on the training, because a lot of people are at different levels, You are massively more prepared for 2012 and beyond than pretty much everyone else. You know, that most people in the world, of course, there's a lot of people doing work on themselves and they're also prepared, but the general population, most people, majority, 99 point whatever percent of the world have no idea who they are, no idea what's going on in the world, no idea why these changes are happening, no idea that it's a consequence of an inner shift, no idea how to deal with their emotions, no idea, you know, what to do in severe situations, no idea how to connect spiritually, just no idea about all the main things that we go on and on and on about in the training. So even if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I haven't achieved this and I haven't got 100% of this and 100% of that, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey, what percentage you're at compared to where you'll be, you know, at your end of your destination. You're so much more prepared just knowing about these things and just having got as far as you have than 99% of the world. So I just want to congratulate everyone for being here listening to this. And, you know, you've really got a very, very solid foundation and you've gone a long way on the journey just being here. Wouldn't you say, Nick and Taylor?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
What are you going to say about it?
Taylor predictions 2012?
Yes, well, I'm very excited about this year. Now, a bizarre thing happened to me the other day. I was in the bank, and it's always a bizarre thing to go into the bank anyhow. But there I was, and I was, you know, I had written out a check, and I was standing in line, and the woman at the window said, you know, miss, you wrote the wrong date on your check. And I looked down, and it was the 27th. I didn't really understand. She said, it's not 2012. And I looked, and it's like, I said, well, what do you mean? It's not the new year yet. And she said, no, I know. It's not 2012 yet. I said, I know. I wrote 2012. It's not 2013 yet. And she said, no, it's 2011. I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? I mean, I suddenly had this, she was so sincere. Like, I couldn't understand why is she trying to convince me that it's some other year than it is? Like, what is going on here? And I turned to the guy at the other window and I said, it's 2012 right now. And and then I really goes, honey, it ain't 2012 yet. You know, and I realized, hold on a minute. And I quickly flipped through my checkbook to discover, with shock, I don't write that many checks, maybe that's part of the problem, I don't know, but every check I'd written, my whole register was 2012, the entire year. It was like, it was like this, you know, how like there's a sudden break in reality, and I suddenly realized that it was 2011, and it was a shocking moment because I thought that this entire year was 2012. So I thought, it's already over. Like, I was already preparing for 2013, like beginning, you know, this weekend. I was all geared up for it. So, and I kind of left the bank, and, you know, I went out and I sat in the car, and I just was with myself and thinking, you know, that's really pretty interesting. And what dawned on me at that point was I've always felt like, you know, I was somewhat ahead of ahead of things, you know. But it really feels like it is already done. It's already over. And I am going to begin 2013. It's interesting because when you were talking about how, Nick, you know, wherever people are in the program, you know, you're going to be uniquely prepared. Well, you know, I would go so far as to say is those that have already are through the program or wherever they're at in the program to this point, you know, began it in 2012, have already, in a way, done the program for everyone who's coming. You know, it just works like that. It's like the 100th monkey thing. You know, I don't even really understand that. But what I'm saying is that it's already done. And while there'll be all the things that you're going to do if you're just beginning the program or at the beginning of the program, by virtue of that, all the people, all the superheroes that have already gone through it, it energetically has the you going through it occur very differently. And so I just want to say that because you are already in 2012 and beyond. And I believe we actually all are. That just by virtue of putting yourself in a program that says preparing for 2012 and beyond, you already, just simply by living inside that intention, no matter what it means, it's already over. 2012 is already over in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was really kind of exciting. So now I've been, you know, using my week. You know, I really look forward to this Holy Week, I call it, between Christmas and New Year's to complete the year. And in this case, you know, I was completing 2012. And really just acknowledge all the massive accomplishments for the year. And it's easy for us to fall into this, you know, like when we look at our list or whatever, or, you know, we have these projects still hanging out that aren't really done, and get into this, oh, dear, you know, what did I really accomplish? Or, you know, maybe things just aren't moving like we want, or like we don't have the kind of money we want, or all these types of things. But in truth, you know, I suspect if every single person on this call really took the time to sit down and be in appreciation and acknowledgement of the massive shifts, and I mean massive shifts, that each of you have made, it would be incredibly wondrous. And that's probably not even a good word. Maybe there isn't even one. And I would encourage everyone to do that because there's something really potent and easy. It's easy to just fall into these places of not seen enough movement. But when I just look at what's happening in the world, you know, the Time magazine decides to put the person of the year as the protester. To me, that's shocking. That's a sign of the movement that mass consciousness has made. And they aren't even, you know, necessarily availing themselves to the information in this program. So, I'm really looking forward to 2012, yeah, because I feel like I can do the whole year over again now in a whole different way. Yeah, it's like having an opportunity to live your life over again. I'm, That's pretty nice.
Yeah, you got a test run, didn't you, Taylor? Now you can improve it. You got an extra year given to you, Taylor, somehow.
I know.
You?
I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, what I was saying earlier to Nick is, you know, normally I do this whole kind of meditation thing the beginning of January for the first 12 days of the year, because there's many, many sort of spiritual realms that believe that each of the first days of January, the first 12 days, represent the first, you know, each day represents the month of the year. And so I like to block off that time period and really create my entire year, the entire year out, each of the 12 days, so that in a way the year is already done before it begins. And, so I'm really, really looking forward to both, you know, being in this completion acknowledgement mode and also this creation of the year mode, you know, coming up in the first 12 days.
Yeah, that's great. I want to just emphasize that again, that those first 12 days of January, or even the whole month of January as well, especially the first 12 days. January is a very sacred month, and I feel that, like a lot of things in life, we set our intentions. Taylor's actually helped me understand this, that it's all in the setup, you know. And so if we really get January right, that's why if you get up early in the morning and you get your day right, the whole day goes well, because you set it up right in the morning, which means you set it right in the evening, you wake up well in the morning, and then the whole day goes well. So if you get up early in January, get your days right in January, get the intentions clear now for January, and spend those first 12 days really going deep, then, you know, you're really making a huge impact on your entire year. And I really feel that this year, 2012, is going to have a tremendous impact on our destiny, actually, because there's so much going on, so much energy, things are speeding up. So each second really is worth a year. That's how powerful time has become now. So really, to take time off, to go deep, is a huge, huge investment in your own future.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, in terms of like predicting or, you know, whatever you asked me to comment on, because I know I went back on the whole being shocked that it was 2012 thing. But, you know, one of the things that I feel and feeling into this year is really, and pretty much I've been communicating to everyone I talk to, is that it's, you know, beginning right away, right out of the chute, you know, January 1st, and I look at every new year like this, but this one in particular has so much energy behind it for a complete and total reinvention of who we are across the board, like from the ground up. You know, it's kind of like, all right, you know what, I've used this model and everything that it has, all its beliefs, all of its, you know, structures and all operating systems. And you know what, I'm trading it in. I want a new model, and this is what it's going to be. And there's an opportunity just by virtue of us saying so, for one, but two, because the energies are coalescing for that level of support to completely and totally reconstruct yourself as you say that you are, for no reason whatsoever, without any evidence, without any proof, without any anything, just because it's January 1st and you can do it. And that's how I'm looking at it, like, okay, good, you know, I'm making up a whole new being here. This is the being that I'm going to be for 2012. These are the features that I'm going to have. You know, I'm going to be able to fly. I'm going to and make it up as ridiculous or as wondrous as you want, because you can. Number one, but number two, because there's so much support, invisible, magical, ethereal, cosmic, divine support for that level of creation right now, like never before in this year. And that's the magic of 2012 and beyond, is that right now, in this moment, you can just say, you know, to heck with all that, all of it, just all of it, and make yourself up from scratch. You know, like Frankenstein's factory, you know, this is the superhero, you know, workshop place, laboratory or whatever it is. And, you know, how are you going to construct yourself as a superhero now, from this moment on in 2012, if you could do whatever you wanted, you know, kind of thing? And that's the way I like to look at it, and I really set my goals from that place. I make impossible, like fantastic goals. You know, I actually have had being able to fly on my, you know, list of physical capabilities I want to manifest in the year. And so I'm upping that ante a little bit this year. But, you know, those are the kind of things I figure I'm going to set it that high. Because even if I don't get that, you know, getting a little bit under that, well, you know, that's not bad either.
That's awesome. And I like to say something about that, too, that especially when we start getting deeper and deeper into the Gerald O'Donnell deep relaxation protocols, what that basically allows you to do, develop the skill of lucid dreaming, so you're awake when your body slips into absolute sleep state, and you can enter the dream state or at least you know, realize when you're in the dream, you can become lucid and then start to do the things that you want to do in the dream. My girlfriend Kelly, she's been practicing the Gerald O'Donnell guided journeys now for a while, and she's having absolutely incredible experiences in there. She had one last night, and all she basically wants to do as soon as the sun's gone down is go up and, you know, drop into that experience for a few hours. And there's so much, the inner world, what I'm experiencing, I mean, I've always experienced it to a degree, but, you know, it's becoming more real than this external reality is. And that's why it is kind of like an anything can happen time, and extremely disturbing for people that are super invested in this external reality just the way it is right now. And I think what the essence of what Taylor was saying there that I got is that, you know, you can dream big, but you're still going to have to, you know, drive your own little spaceship. You're still going to have to control your thoughts. You're still going to have to control your words and actions, and you're still going to have to be in a harmonious and high frequency vibratory feeling state in order to navigate successfully and gracefully through life, through the ocean of life, however it's appearing. If it's, you know, very much third density and you know, slow moving, relatively slow moving stuff like it is in this world that we're living in, although everything is speeding up, or you go into that those other realms, those other dimensions that are opening up into realms where everything happens a lot faster, and the laws of nature and physics and whatnot are you know, definitely way different to what we perceive in this world right now. So it's a fascinating scenario when you consider it's all going on inside of me, and according to my belief systems, according to the patterns that I have ingrained within me in terms of how successful I am in dissolving those. And when Taylor's saying, you know, just throwing the whole thing away and, you know, redefining yourself from scratch, you know, you're being supported because the whole time-space continuum, if this mind, anything to do with any of these mind calendar predictions or terms of cycles and of time within ages are, you know, finishing and winding up, the whole time-space, the substance of our reality, time and space, is going down a plug hole now this year, faster and faster and faster. And you may recall the interview that I did with Nassim Harriman, where we were talking about the how he represented that 260,000 year cycle that is represented by the Mayan calendar, but is also alluded to by many, 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 many different civilizations and cultures. And this whole 260,000 thing he represented as a spiral, and with 2012 as the point of the spiral, the tip of the spiral. And then he divided that spiral by the phi ratio, the golden mean ratio. And all of the node points where that division bisected that 260,000-year spiral, every one of those node points was an event that we could track back in history of something extremely significant that defined the future of the human race. And, of course, at the beginning of the spiral, 260,000 years ago, those kind of energies coming into creation were thousands and thousands of years apart. But right now, as this whole thing is spiraling down into harmonious reconciliation and completion, these node points are much, much closer together. And as 2012 gathers more and more momentum, you're going to find energies impacting your world, impacting your psyche, most relevantly, that are life-defining and epoch-defining, and they are coming in not just, there's no thousands of years between them now. They're coming in on a daily, hourly, and moment-to-moment basis. So this year is, strap you on your safety belt, because this is going to be a wild ass. And you really want to be able to navigate this kind of energy that's coming in. You really need to be on your very fundamental basic self-mastery protocols that we've been encouraging for a long time now.
Absolutely, these are very, very intense, extremely intense times. But we have huge potential for magical, wonderful things, and I'm very personally very, very excited about it all. And I was on the beach this morning for the sunrise, watching the sun come up and doing a bit of sun gazing, and there was huge waves, and I was just inspired while I was sitting there to write a list of questions for you to think about, just to get you prepared, because we've been on about how you can get clear on your vision in 2012, and you can listen to this anytime you want and recap on that. So I just wanted to go through this for you listening to get a pen and paper, just to make a few notes. It's good to have something to look at, and I encourage you to do this in your own time as well, of course, but this is something we can do on the call just for a few minutes, get some clarity so that you can really run with it. And if Nick and Taylor have anything to say after I've gone through these questions, then if you want to ask any other questions, then go for it. It's just something that I felt would be poignant. And before we answer these questions, something that I learned from Gay and Katie Hendricks, who write all these books about relationships. I was listening to something, actually, Taylor in the Mercedes, you had a CD. I've been listening to that CD. And there's just a nice thing that came up that I really found very useful, and I wanted to share it with everyone today. And it's just making a statement and saying it out loud. And this is something that you can do in your own time. And if you're somewhere where you're capable of just saying something out loud a few times now, then go for it. So I'd like you to write this down. And you can change this statement to something else, and you can use this for lots of different things. So let's just start with something that I thought would be powerful. To claim 2012 being the best year of your life. Because if we have the intention to make something best ever, then it will be. If we just wait for it to happen, it probably is not going to happen. So just write down on a piece of paper, I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. And of course, if you want to do this in the future in your own time, you can change it to the most amazing year or the most profound or the most loving or whatever you want. But let's just keep it like this for now. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. And so write it down, and this is how we can do this. I did this morning just to really feel into it, and I found it physically had an effect on me. So we can just say this about 10 times. And each time we emphasize a different word. So we start with, I commit to make 2012 best year of my life. Then I commit. Really feel it. I commit to making 2012. So let's just go through this and we're going to emphasize the main words. And just you do this all together as a way of, you know, affirming it to the universe, affirming it to ourselves, affirming it to each other. Because it's up to us to make this happen. We create anything we want. We can completely recreate ourselves. We can completely recreate our lives. So we might as well really go for it and make it a very, very fascinating and something beyond even our imagination. So let's just spend a couple of minutes doing this.
I commit to making
2012 best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. And lastly, I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life.
That's wonderful.
And can I just say something? Yeah, sure.
So that statement there, the opportunity for that is so here. And when you're saying that statement, you need to be saying it with joy and in a state of joy and in a state of celebration inside of you. Because the part of you is already capable of living that, and if we want to get into a quantum discussion, we could say part of you is already living that and guaranteed to live that, is living that. And when we get into those joy frequencies, the high frequencies of being, we totally connect with our higher self or whatever you want to call it. But in the lower frequencies, if we're feeling lack or we're not really confident about doing it, or we can't do it, or it's not going to happen, or any undercurrent of any so-called negative emotion, low frequency emotion, it's nowhere near as efficient and as effective, that statement. So that's awesome. Yes, I'm stoked, mate. I was really enjoying saying that. And joy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the more we do this, and of course, you know, do it in your own time, do it a lot, you know, these statements. And what I found when I was doing this is each word, you know, we say so many words all the time. But when you focus on those words, like I commit, you know, that word commit, it has a actual physical effect. You know, it goes all the way down into my hands, all the way down into my feet. You know, it really grounds it. So I really go for it. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. Completely up to us. You know, we are the ones. And just a quick side point, I'm going to ask some questions, but one of the things that I feel is so essential, an attitude to have, is that it's not that there's this big world outside of ourselves and we're going to have to, like, deal with, like, the Illuminati and, like, the economy and all these things, and it's outside of us. Like Nick was saying at the beginning, it's all inside of us. And we are the ones who are on the cusp of the wave. We're on the edge of the wave. We're bringing on the waves. We're the ones bringing the waves. And when we have this consciousness that we're the ones doing it, we're the ones creating it, then it completely shifts us out of fear and into excitement and into wonder and into joy. So just if you ever find yourself going, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, oh, the economy, oh, you know, like the government's passed all these various laws that can just grab people off the streets and torture them. You know, like there's all sorts of bad news you could be tuning into. But when we realize we're creating it, we're on the edge of it, it completely shifts our attitude and our awareness and our perception of life and what's going to happen, and really puts us back into the driver's seat, back into the seat of power, which is what we always have anyway. We just sometimes forget. So, pen and paper, I'm just going to ask a few questions. This is the sort of thing that I personally like to ask myself, and I just wanted everyone can just go through this, and you can go through this in your own time as well. Just got about four or five questions. So, first of all, just write down What are the five things that you've done this year so far in 2011 that have really moved you forward, that have really worked for you so far? What have you done so far in this year? Five things that have actually worked, that have brought you forward, moved you forward, brought you more joy, improved your relationships, helped you, you know, feel happier, moved you forward in your project. What are the five things, five actions, five thoughts, words, whatever they are, just five main things? Could be getting up early, it could be studying something, could be jumping around on Rebounder, could be, you know, working really early in the morning. I don't know what it is, but you just write down five things. If there's more than that, you can write 5 to 10 things. Just write down, what are those five, main five or more things that have really actually moved you forward so far in this last year that you know from personal experience? Let's just take a couple minutes to write that down. Let's just take another 30 seconds or so just to write down anything that comes to mind. It might be 10 things. Just write them all down. Anything that comes to mind. What has helped you? What has worked for you in this last year? Because we all do things that bring us joy, that move us forward. We just need to know what they are. It's very important to know what they are. So just a few more seconds. Wonderful. Now I'd love you to just invite you to circle or put a star next to the top three. What are your top three? Three things that you know absolutely, if you do those, it really puts you in the state, it really moves you forward. So that you know these are the top three things. And you all know which ones they are. And now you've got some things with emphasis, star on next to them. I want to ask you the next question, which is how to do more of those things in this coming year, 2012. So just on a separate piece of paper, how can you do more of those things? What's going to make it easy for you to do more of them? You know, if you want to get up early, how can you get up early more often? If you want to spend more time in nature, how can you spend more time in nature? You want to do more meditation, how to do more meditation. Just spend a few minutes now writing down how you can do more of it. because we might as well have a joy-filled, wonderful life doing what we love and what works. Let's just spend a few minutes just writing down how you can do more of those three things that really work for you. This can be very, very practical, like tell someone not to bother me when I'm in doing something, or very practical things, very tangible, practical things that you can do on a daily basis to make them happen more often. I'm just going to spend another 30 seconds or so just finishing that off. Your unconscious mind is extremely powerful and has all the answers to these questions. Yay. So, next thing is very, very, very important. Now you know what you want to do more of, because you might as well do lots and lots of stuff that you love all the time. Now, the question is, what are the things that are sabotaging you? So, I'd love you to get another piece of paper and draw a line down the middle, so you've got two sides of the paper. And on the left-hand side of the paper, write down a list of all the things that you know deep down in your heart and soul you need to avoid, the things that sabotage you, you know. Certain people, maybe, whenever you hang out with them, weird stuff happens, you don't like certain foods, maybe, that you like to eat, that they make you sick, or whatever. Just write down everything that you're aware of that you really know, honestly, deep down in your heart and soul, you need to avoid from personal experience. So we all know what these things are. We just have to be honest, open our hearts to ourselves and to the truth. And let's just write them all down on the left-hand side. Spend just a couple of minutes at the most just writing all these things down that you know personally is best to avoid. Your own attention for having the best year ever. Just shining a light on the ego and its wonderful little tricks. Little Mr. Lizard making us do strange things. Just take a few more seconds just to write down what you need to avoid, what you personally know for you personally. This isn't about anyone else, it's just about you, what you need to avoid in this next year in order for you to have the best life ever. And now, on the right-hand side, next to each one of those things on the other side, write down what you can do to replace that. So if you know that, say, for example, eating, you know, toast doesn't do it for you, what can you do instead of eating toast? You know, if you feel like you want to have a big slice of cake and you know that it doesn't do the job, how are you going to replace cake with something else? What are you going to do instead of eating cake? Whatever it is, because we need to have a replacement. Otherwise, we're just going to have the experience and we're going to do the same stuff again and again and again. So we actually need to have a plan in place, and then it becomes easy. So just spend a few minutes now What are you going to do? So this is the thing you know you need to avoid. How are you going to replace that one thing? Next one, next one. Just go down the list and come up with some real tangible, practical things that are good, sensible ideas that you know yourself better than anyone else does. How can you replace that? When you're in that situation, when you're feeling the craving for that thing, or when you're just about to do that thing, what are you going to do instead? The deep, deep and profound question, and you know the answer to each and every single one of those things. Just take a few moments to answer those questions. This is what a superhero does. Superhero knows what's going on, gets on with it. Let's just take a few more seconds, and you can always refine this. How you can replace each one of those things with something wonderful. Yay. And you can go back to that if you need more time. Next question. We've just got two more questions. And this is going to really help you make 2012 an amazing year. It's going to be very clear. Next question is, because at the end of the day, you're going to have the best year ever if you have the best day ever every day of the year. So what are the daily rituals, the daily activities, the things that you can do every day that are really going to make a massive difference to your life? And we've already talked about this a little bit with your top three, but just let's just make a list on another piece of paper. What are the daily rituals? What are the things that you can do every day that are really going to put you in the state, that are going to move you forward, that you can commit to? What can you commit to every day, your daily rituals for 2012? Just write down anything that comes to mind. Daily rituals. For me, for example, I've got this down, like get up super early, do meditation, do all my work before the sun's come up, if I can, go to the beach, do natural chi. I've got these different rituals. So write down the daily rituals that really put you in the space, make you feel great, and get things going. Yay. And you can always refine this. This is a superhero's mission to work out our daily rituals, because our life is based on what we do moment by moment. So if you know what these things are, you're setting yourself up for an amazing life. And the last question, very, 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 very important, extremely essential question, is what is your big goal? What is your big goal? Like Taylor was saying, what is the big final goal that you want to have by the end of the year? And don't have more than three things, because if you have hundreds and hundreds of goals, you can have smaller goals within a big goal. What are your big goals, or your big goal? What is your huge vision, your big vision for the end of 2012? So between now and the end of the year, what is the big thing that you want to achieve? It may take the whole year to manifest. One to three things. What is your big vision, your big goal? Just feel into that. Just enjoy that vision. Enjoy the feelings of having manifested that. And write it down. You might want to even draw a picture. Just get those goals or that big goal down on paper. Yay. Wonderful. So let's just quickly recap. So you just remember what you've done here. You've come up with the list of the things that have worked so far, and then you've chosen the top three, the ones that really, really do it for you. You've then asked yourself how you can do more of them, so you can start doing more and more and more of what you love and less of everything else. You've then worked out what things you need to avoid. For you personally, things that are wasting your time, sabotaging your life, and you know what to replace them with, so you've got an actual plan to do more of what you love and less of the other nonsense. You also have your daily rituals, the things that are going to bring you a huge amount of power and wonder and magic and love and peace, and you know what your big goal is, your vision, your reason for being alive. And I think if you have those things, that's a very, very, very good start for you having the best year of your life. And so I just want to finish with, let's just say out loud all together. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. I commit to making 2012 the best year of my life. Thank you, everyone. I hope you found that useful.
Wonderful, bro. Thank you so much. I definitely did. It's awesome.
Yeah. Simple stuff. And if we get clear, then it's so much easier to manifest if we know what's going on.
That's right.
And,
clarity.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more effective for getting clear than going into those deep depths of deep relaxation within yourself and opening up those portals to that essence in your soul there and letting it come flooding into your psyche. And absolutely, it's like a river of goodness just washing everything clean. It gives you so much energy for moving forward. And, just so much clarity.
This is going to be an amazing year. And I really love what Taylor was saying about, you know, anything's possible. Just go for newness. Create yourself new. That's, to me, that's such a nourishing and beautiful experience. I love tapping into that again and again and again. Just imagine... we've just arrived here on the planet, just today, here we are, and we have all this stuff, and what are we going to do with it, you know, totally fresh, as if there's no past, no inhibitions, no ideas of limitations, just totally new. It's such a truthful, clean place to look at the world from. Really, really enjoy that. So we've only actually got one question today, and we'll take that in a minute. But before we do, just wanted to mention a few things, and I'd love to hear Nick and Taylor's thoughts on this. we touched on it earlier, that we don't know what's going to happen. We get a feeling of it, but we don't know all the details. But the most important thing, no matter what is happening, is to come back again and again and again and again to knowing that we are visitors, that we are travelers. I've come up with this new phrase, cosmic traveler. Cosmic traveler, it just sounds lovely. We're cosmic travelers from another dimension, and we're here just for a short time to express our gifts and to enjoy the wonder of this wonderful three-dimensional experience. And we're always safe. We're always eternally safe. Even if the body is hungry or thirsty or sick, or even if anything, we're always safe because we're always non-physical, immortal, cosmic, eternal travelers. And end of the day, everything comes back to this. No matter what it is, no matter what happens in 2012 and beyond, it doesn't make any difference. It's always in the context that we are eternal beings having an experience, and we're safe, because you can't die, because eternal means no beginning and no end. So there's no end, there's no beginning, it just goes on and on forever, the sense of existence. And do we need to spend a lot of time? I've spent 15 years pondering on these things and experiencing it as deeply as I can. So I'm just encouraging you to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper using all the tools. Gerald O'Donnell's got some really cool meditations. We've got loads of meditations. Taylor's stuff. We've got so many tools for you, so many videos. Keep going back to this. Don't assume that you understand it all, you know, perfectly. This is a wonderful process. Just keep coming back to, I'm a spiritual being. I'm an eternal being. I'm a traveler. I'm a guest. I am a witness. I am the observer. I am completely safe. Again and again and again and again and again. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with each moment, with each breath, with each thought that we go into this. And so when it comes to 2012 and what's going to happen, this is the one thing that's going to bring you back to safety, bring you back to sanity, bring you back to peace, no matter what. So we really need to keep coming back to this. To me, this never gets boring. I could experience this again and again and again and talk about this for years and years and years. It's fascinating because it's fresh, it's new, deep, it's profound. And it's absolutely wonderful that we are eternal. There's no end to anything. It just cracks me up. So keep coming back to it. If you forget everything else we've ever mentioned in this whole training, and you just know that you're eternally safe, eternal soul, eternal light, that would be enough. So along with that, of course, is getting on with our mission. And Taylor and I were having a little chat about this. Taylor, anything you want to share about this getting on with your mission, getting on with your dharma? What is your purpose? Because it seems some people are still a bit confused. And we, you know, we're eternal beings, but we're not here just to float around randomly. We're here to do things. And this is a question that comes up again and again and again. People are very disturbed about this. So any thoughts, just to recap on this extremely essential topic of why am I here? What is it all about?
Yes, well, it does appear to me that we make this, this seems to be, for many, a challenging question, difficult question, and one that may perplex someone their entire lifetime, and they never come to an answer, and they live and die without ever knowing. It'd still be a big mystery. And it appears there seems to be a mass consciousness that enables that thought pattern of that, well, that's a mysterious thing. Who really knows? You know, well, how can you ever be sure and certain? And so well, I would just say in support of being and creating ourselves anew that we also let go of this idea that it is a mystery, it is complicated, we aren't really sure. And in truth, it's extremely simple. And it's one of those things, like many things, that I find humans make very complicated. You know, I was sharing with Michael before this call that the number one reason that people usually come to me and have sessions or want to talk or get clarity, is on this very topic. Who are they and why are they here? And so my suggestion is, if you're in that place still, that one trap or trick I see that people get caught into is this idea that whatever it is that you're going to come up with needs to be it, and that's it, and it'll last for the rest of your lifetime. And that's a lot of pressure. You know, it's kind of like goes back to how I remember feeling in the guidance counselor office in high school, where I had to decide who I was going to be, what I wanted to go to school for, and specialize in for the rest of my life, you know, in a half-hour interview. And, you know, and maybe in some level we never – that's happened to all of us in some way, shape, or form. You know, even when we were young, you know, people were asking us, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? And, you know, I remember always being completely caught off guard and perplexed by that. Why are they asking me that? And so, you know, who knows? There's all kinds of myriad reasons as to why perhaps this is a big stumper for us, or perhaps drives us into this place of not trusting or uncertainty, you know, just on the simplest thing. Like, I remember thinking when I got asked that question when I was young, that I wanted to play, but I didn't think that answer would probably pass as acceptable because, you know, didn't really add up to an income that, you know, and I didn't know if you could go to college for it. And so I kind of put that on the back burner, like, all right, well, that's not the right answer. And so I guess I'm going to have to figure out what is. But my suggestion is, if you're really in that space of unclarity or uncertainty, is often another trap is that you have to see that whatever that is, your mission is, needs to equal something that either makes sense or makes money or both. And again, I would let go of all that. It doesn't need to make sense. It doesn't even need to make money. And all that it really needs to do is give you joy and pleasure and turn you on. Like, you can get so excited about that you could just be lost in it. You know, for me, like, my whole life when I was little, it was like waking up and hurrying up and getting outside and playing as fast as I could, and then spending every single possible minute until it got dark and we would get, you know, dragged in and told to go to sleep, doing that. And so I figured if I could do that for the rest of my life, things would be, you know, A-okay. And that's really the earmark of a mission. It can just be that simple. And it doesn't have to add up. You don't have to see how it's going to be marketable or how you can even turn it into a website domain name. And I think these are the traps or pitfalls that we get caught up into that kind of lead us astray and have us doubt or second guess ourselves or question or not be certain. And in the end of the day, really the only thing I do when I do talk to people and support them and glean clear about who they are is really just to ask them, what do they love? And sooner or later in that conversation, it usually reveals itself, and it's usually sooner than later. And so I would just say, if you're really still uncertain or not clear or any of those things, and furthermore, it doesn't have to be for the rest of your life. You know, I've had various missions and and objectives that have changed throughout my lifetime, although always in the background, I think this idea of play has been a fundamental factor. But so my other suggestion would be is to not see it as this, you've got to have it all figured out, and it has to be it, and it's the only thing, and it has to last forever. And just to let go into whatever it is right now, because at the rate at which we're evolving and changing, you're going to go through several lifetimes, especially in this year, and probably a number of months. So it makes it even easier just to come up with something and just go for it. Just because, probably by 6 months in, who knows, since you're going to be completely different, so will it. And that's good news. And, the other thing I've found is often other people are so clear about who we are and what we're here for that they're surprised we aren't. And so sometimes if you're in a quagmire or a question about it, usually if you ask those around you that you respect and trust and that really know you and love you for who you are, in an instant they could tell you. They could tell you in an instant who you are and what you're here for. Because it's that you're providing to them that they love you and recognize you for. And this is where, being in relationship with others, where we can really be of service to others in that way, is to just look over and say, what, are you kidding me? I mean, you're like the best storyteller on the planet. I remember one time I said that to Nick. I said to me, Nick, you are the ultimate storyteller. That's just who you are. I mean, it's so clear to me. I love any time Nick tells a story. It's captivating. His whole life to me is that. And I think that's another place where you can really just listen, just ask someone, like, who would you say I am? What is my essence? What is my soul? What is it that I contribute that's so unique and special in all the world? And they'll tell you. And very quickly. And so it's not really as mysterious as we think it is, in truth. I mean, I think we've gotten bought into, or we've been sold into this idea that it's mysterious, but it is not at all mysterious.
Yeah, and I'd like to add one thing as well to that. If you're not sure 100% about your, because there is so much uncertainty in the world, and a lot of us are in upheaval and movement and change and flux, so it can be a little challenging to concretize in those circumstances. But the thing is, essentially, you're here to plug in to the great source of life, all life within you. And you have to go deep to do that and dissolve everything in there that's preventing you from really embracing fully that relationship within you. That plugs you into the juice. The other part of it is to complete the circuit, is you have to give that juice. You have to express it through your creativity. And that's what your dharma's for, your mission in life. That's what that's for. You plug that spiritual power into creative projects that you love to do. And it's your gift and your mission and your purpose to do that. But at the very least, you're here to radiate blessings and to forgive and release everyone and everything, to maintain an attitude of ho'oponopono, and keep that energy flowing through you out into the world, and just bless everyone, bless everything, bless everyone, bless everything. Because if your attitude's not right, if your attitude isn't of the highest, then you're not really living your dharma. You know, you can get the busy hat on and you haven't got time for this, I haven't got time for that because I'm just too busy and I'm on a mission and blah, blah, blah. You really have to check in with that attitude all the time because it's your vibrational state of being that is the most important thing. And, that's what we're here to do. We're here to lighten up the world and brighten up the world through a way of being, through a vibrational way of being. And it's the vibrational impact that is the most significant in terms of how things shift. And so that's a good thing to take into consideration, you know, when we think about the Occupy movement that's going on. And how, tremendous violence is being met with, more and more violence. And getting angry and violent is not the way, absolutely not the way to change anything at all in terms of moving into the new paradigm. And the greatest demonstration, talking about stories, I saw of this was when the... when they tried to drive the super ferry in here into Kauai, and there was this gigantic, huge ferry boat that was super high-tech in the sense that they had hydrofoils, so it would literally come up out of the water onto these two huge blades and be driven through the ocean at a fairly rapid rate of knots for a big thing like that, burning thousands and thousands of gallons of diesel fuel while it was doing that, extremely inefficient, causing pollution and extreme danger to whales and dolphins and whatnot because it was going straight through the breeding ground. And they were trying to drive this thing, force this thing on the people of Kauai and the people in the Hawaiian Islands saying that we need this, you need this to get from island to island and blah, blah, blah. And they broke all the required protocols that this kind of initiative needs to go through in terms of the red tape and in particular an environmental impact study. What was going to be the impact of this thing on the environment over X numbers of years in various situations. This study had not been done, and it was required by law, but this was all being waived because of political wheeling and dealing and lots of skullduggery behind the scenes that I won't go into the details of now. And, of course, the local people here got, felt the spiritual disharmony in this, that as the Hawaiians say, things weren't pono. Remember, ho-ho, pono, pono is the restoration of harmony or the restoration of righteousness. And things weren't pono with this gigantic thing being driven into the harbor. So what they ended up doing was just going down there to resist this and literally physically getting in the water and creating a human chain across the harbour mouth there, lots of people on surfboards, floating around on surfboards, swimmers, people on boogie boards, created this human chain and stopped the thing from coming in and docking. And in the end, they had to turn around and go back to wherever it came from. And I was at the, along with a lot of other people, was at the public meeting about this when all the politicians came down, the businessmen came down, the governor of Hawaii came down, a woman called Linda Lingle, and she stood up, and she listened to, because it was like a public thing where everyone got to have a say. I got to get up there and say my little bit, and hundreds of other people did. And Linda Lingle, after listening to all these people, just basically stood there and said, no, you're having it. You know, whether you like it or not, you're having it, and said that she was actually changing the law to make this thing, legal now. And the rudeness and the brashness of her political persona was in absolute marked contrast, and this is the whole point of me telling you this, to these old elderly Hawaiian matriarchs who were holding the space down there. And these matriarchs, the sort of the grandmothers of the different clans in Kauai, they stood up and spoke, and they spoke with so much grace and so much dignity, and their hearts remained open and sweet, and they didn't lose their dignity. They didn't lose that aloha spirit. So the spirit was flowing through them all the time, and they didn't go into conflict with the oppressor. And this is something that Gandhi was, you know, very, 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 very instrumental in educating people and demonstrating as well, is that there's no need to go into conflict with the oppressor. And when we do, if we're playing on their terms with violence and whatnot, with a bad attitude, then it just creates a mess, a bloody mess, literally a bloody mess. And so it's much more intelligent to go about your mission in the world, wherever that is, whatever that is, in transformation and helping things change, people change, by vibing a really sweet, hearted spirit. And this little equation that we're always, you know, we pumped up a lot in the early days with on this training, and it goes with all the breathing meditations and stuff of using Nizcha, that burning intensity of faith, and then the love and blessings, the sweet compassion that comes through practicing Ho'oponopono. This is the way to become really, really powerful and really effective in the world. So I just wanted to add that to the wonderful things you guys have been saying as well.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of that. That story was so inspiring that one of the biggest boats in the world, probably invented, you know, in that for that mission, could be turned around by a handful of surfers floating in the water. And it never, the other end of that story is it never came back. It never came back. To this day, it's still not there in Kauai. And,
that's right.
You know, all sorts of things occurred after she said, well, we're bringing it to the, you know, interesting things occurred and all, again, kind of, you know, without any rhyme or reason, but synchronicities and unpredictabilities occurred, and it really does come down to that there was such a solid grounding of this will not be in the native people, in the energy and spirit of Kauai, that it couldn't even, that even against all odds, the thing never has come back. And that's just a mystery, you know, to those people in power, I'm sure. But it really underscores that, you know, what you resist persists. And they're just, it would just became like, all right, well, we'll then have it your way, and we're going to just hold the spirit of Hawaii and Kauai and aloha and just hold that and watch what happens. And that's, it, to me, that's just, that was one of the most inspiring stories, just watching that whole thing unfold.
I heard that it actually was taken to the mainland or somewhere, and it fell over and got cracked, and it's basically trash now.
Yeah, it was taken out of the water in Oahu to paint it, and they had it in a big cradle, and they fell out of the mysteriously fell out of the cradle and cracked the whole thing. Yeah, and then it was towed to the mainland somewhere.
What a trip. So, I mean, there you have it. I mean, that's just... And Taylor was telling me another story about when they tried to build hotels up here on the North Shore in Hanalei, and Minnehone apparently were just sinking the equipment again and again and again. Do you want to say a few words on that, Taylor? That cracked me up, that story.
What's that? I didn't hear what you just said.
You were saying about when they were trying to... They had all those machines to try and make... great hotels on in Hanalei.
Oh, yeah, the bridge.
To change the bridge, and it just didn't. Just a few words on that. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, you know, the energy of Kauai, for anyone that hasn't been there, you know, throughout time, it was the last island to be, you know, taken over by the king, by the queen, and then ultimately by the U.S. government to be annexed and made into the U.S. And so there's a certain power and lineage and spirit of Kauai that's very, very strong and pronounced. The minute you, it's very distinct from all the other islands. The minute you step foot on it, you know you're someplace special. You don't even know quite why, but I have found that the people that are called there and make it their home are of that lineage, are of this breed of creating a whole new reality. You know, it's in the air there, and it's very, very visceral. But there's so many stories of the little Menahuns, which are these little magical people, which at one time lived everywhere and had a wonderful time and fishing and playing. And but now they've kind of moved into the more obscure, not so traveled parts of the island, which makes up actually a big part of the island. But the North Shore is really still very much like it was hundreds of years ago. That, I mean, that's the beauty of Kauai. It's not very commercialized. There's only a two-lane road for the most part that goes the entire, you know, length of one side of the island. Another side you can't even get to with you know, only on foot. And so, you know, it remains almost very much like it was hundreds of years ago. You can actually go onto beaches, and with the exception of normal beach erosion, looks like it did in ancient Hawaiian at times. And that's very rare for an island so close and all these types of things. And a lot of people say it's because it has this force field of protection around it to keep it in this very, very high vibration, pristine state. And the upholders of that, along with the whales and other creatures, mammals in the ocean, are these little Menahun people in the lands and in the forest. And so, you know, the two-lane road, which also you have to go over these very, very little bridges that are wooden, you know, to get even to some of the places on the far end of the North Shore. When they decided they were going to develop the North Shore, it meant that they had to bring in heavy equipment, and these bridges were not going to be able to sustain that. So the first job was going to have to be to tear down these, you know, ancient kind of one-lane bridges, which they are actually one lane. You know, you have to, one row of cars goes across, and you have to wait for the other row of cars to go across. In most of the whole North Shore, to get to the places on the island, that's how you have to go. So they decided to bring in this massive equipment to tear down these bridges and build a bridge that a tractor trailer could get across for building hotels and whatnot. And they'd bring in these big equipments, and they'd leave them there, and they'd do a little putting around. And what kept happening consistently was the next day they'd arrive at the workspace, and the equipment would have sunk in the mud or somehow been disabled. And, you know, it was unworkable. And so it was becoming a real problem. So finally they decided they needed to just man, you know, 24-hour surveillance around this equipment because it was just costing them a lot of time, money, and they weren't moving forward with the development project. And they did. They manned, they put guards and people to watch all night long, and random bizarre things would happen. Either they would fall asleep, or the next day there would still be issues that occurred and they never saw them happening. And this went on and on and on for months until finally the native peoples pretty much kind of came together and said, well, we think you can see that this is just not, there is no flow on this, essentially. And they abandoned the project. I mean, it's similar to the super ferry. They just, through all these various circumstances which didn't make any sense and were sometimes fantastical, they just couldn't, were beyond belief, they abandoned the project. And those bridges still stand, and no development has occurred. And these stories go on all the time. There's always these types of little stories that you'll find if you dig just a little bit deep into the Kauai and Menahune traditions there.
Yeah, and this doesn't just apply to Hawaii. We're just giving an example that bizarre things happen. It can happen to all of us anytime. Anywhere.
It does happen.
So let's, 2012 is going to be a profound year, and there's no reason bizarre things. I mean, frankly, we've all got long, long pages worth of strange stories of strange things happening because that's just the way it is. So it's great to just be aware of this and expect it, look out for it, pay attention to it. So one last we got one question. No one else has asked this question for some reason, but here we have it from Fiona. She's in Wales right now. And she's been studying spiritual nutrition by Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and he describes his Kundalini spiritual awakening. She says, I'm curious if you have experienced anything similar, and if this is something superheroes experience. Do you have any wisdom about these experiences and what to expect as we deepen our spiritual practices and align with our mission? Much love to you and all the superhero family, Diana. Well, so Kundalini spiritual awakening. Anyone want to say anything, or should I go ahead?
Well, you can go ahead, but I'll also say something.
I've read a lot about these different Kundalini experiences, and they all seem similar in a way and different in a way. As if there is an energy going up the spine. And my personal experience, I was in England. This is a funny story, actually. This is back in the day when Nick and I were living together and we were getting all this fruit. Remember that, Nick? Buying all that large amounts of fruit from the wholesale guys, brothers. And we had boxes and boxes of these really amazing melons they wanted to give us. And so I was juicing up all these melons and having this melon cream, which was actually the most delicious drink I've ever had in my life, without a doubt. It was a pure heaven. I was just in absolute awe of this stuff. It was like fluffy white cream of just pure nectar. And I just remember that because we had boxes and boxes, and I was just amazed by the taste of this drink, I was like, whoa. So I'm not sure if it had anything to do with melons. So that time I was doing large amounts of meditation. And as I was juicing up all these melons, I remember having this experience, which actually doesn't sound like it was exactly the same as people describe, because they normally describe an energy running up the base of the spine, up to the crown chakra, the root chakra to the crown chakra. I experienced something that seemed like the opposite, but it's like an experience that I can treat at will. I can do it now if I want. It's really like quite a potent experience. And all of a sudden, as I was just like juicing away, experienced this massive bolt of energy from my crown chakra, just blasting through all the way down and actually out of my hands and feet, almost like an orgasmic bliss experience of just like pure power and almost electric power. I forget that I have this power, actually, because I don't, as soon as I tune into it, it's immediately there. And I'm not doing anything in particular. It's just available. And so that just appeared out of nowhere, and I've had it ever since. This has been about, I don't know, that must be about 7 years ago. So that, I'm not sure if it's the same thing, but it's a physical sensation that is very powerful, electric, and seems to have been brought on by a change in my consciousness. Or maybe it's just the consequence of drinking melon juice, which I doubt, but that was certainly might have helped it along. So I'm not sure you need to have these experiences. I'm not sure it's essential. I don't think if you're not having them, there's anything wrong with you. I don't think it really matters at all. But it's certainly interesting when they do happen to us. That's all I got to say on it. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would second that. I don't think that it. I also feel the same way. That I don't think that it matters. And my sense is it's all up for grabs and being redefined anyways. And while I recognize that there's Kundalini yoga and there's methods, you know, perhaps tried and true methods of ways to bring the Kundalini energy up, and tried and not so true. You know, I've seen several Kundalini things going awry. but I don't know that. I feel the same. I don't know that it really it matters, or that it's necessarily even perhaps maybe even useful or something to focus on. But unless it really intrigues you, but. You know, my experience of that similar thing as your melon experience happened when I was when I did the natural chi movement activation, and more than anything, while maybe it would be what many describe similar to the Kundalini, while people describe their Kundalini experiences sound similar, but mostly for me it was just this coming into or realization and experience of my true nature of being. Of that kind of core of light and chi force energy, which is all Kundalini is your chi force energy, that which, you know, gives you life, a recognition of that, experiencing it and sort of having consciousness around it, and that was a wonderful experience. And like you, Michael, I feel like I can recreate that now at will. And it was really just a function of not even having a conscious awareness about it before to even look for it, you know, or think it is as missing. So, you know, that it's now having that relationship with it, it's like as if it's something that you can tap into any time. But, you know, I think Kundalini could be named a lot of different things, but I really think it just comes down to your experiencing yourself as energy, as chi and life force, and as a being of energy, in however you do that. And you may never do it. You may never have that experience, but the whole point of the Kundalini arising or awakening is to awaken your consciousness. So if you've awakened your consciousness and haven't had a Kundalini experience, I wouldn't worry a whole lot about it. You know, I think that was the mission of that whole process in any case. But this is not something I'm masterful in depth in, but
yeah, I really don't think it it's all that important. It is wonderful to have these sort of blissful experiences. Like I'm glad you mentioned it, because I keep forgetting I have this, and it's like almost like bliss on tap. I don't know why I forget. It's just one of those funny things, like having gold and you just forget you have it, and you just don't use it, or having, you know, beautiful jewelry and you just never wear it. But it's nice to have. But I think it's one of those things that's a bonus when we don't care, we don't need it, we're not looking for it. You know, it's just one of those consequences of doing the right things. So, anyway, I hope that's useful to you guys. Have the best year of your life. You're all wonderful beings, and we are so happy that you're here listening to this and being part of this beautiful family, this community. And I look forward to sharing more and more with you, and there's so much more to come in this next year, so much more to share, so just keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Each one of you, each one of us, we all know what's good for us and what we need to do, so let's just get on with it, no excuses, and have fun doing it, and really, really have a high vision and make it happen, because I really love, Taylor, what you said earlier on, that really touched me strongly. We can recreate ourselves completely. You know, that really struck a chord very deeply. And I think that sums everything up right there. We can completely recreate ourselves. So, any last words, Taylor?
Hallelujah. Yeah, I got this great card today in the mail, a New Year's card, which I don't know, I've gotten a New Year's card like that before. And I opened it up and it said, Occupy 2012 as the best year ever. And I love that. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, there you go. I mean, so it's consistent with what your little mantra was in the beginning there. And, yeah, I also am embracing that being born anew and not recognizing myself. You know, that's my mission, to be unrecognizable in this new year, in new and fantastic and wondrous ways that I'm in awe of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best ever. All right, so go for it, go for it, go for it. Everyone, you know who you are. You know what you're doing. We're here to help you, but you're the ones making it happen, and we're totally here to support you in your mission and look forward to connecting with you personally. So have a great New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I love to spend New Year's Day, you know, really going deep. Those first 12 days, like Taylor said, is super important. So get yourself prepared, and we look forward to sharing with you next time. All right. Awesome love, and aloha.
Aloha.